Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Good to be able to open the Word of God and see what the Lord has to say to us today. It's Mother's Day. That seems to be the emphasis on this day, and we'll see that as we go through the Scriptures. Just one verse. Genesis chapter 3, look with me at verse 20. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. The mother of all living. Father, bless your word now. Thank you for calling us your children. Thank you that we've received our Savior. We've been born again. And I pray that that tie would be very strong, that bond. I pray today that you'd speak to every heart. Bless mothers, bless children, bless fathers, bless our homes. For your honor and for your glory, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Obviously, the emphasis on Mother's Day is fathers, right? No, it's mothers. Amen. But in the Bible, there's a lot of good mothers. And, you know, you can read those stories and incorporate some of those traits in your life and your relationship with your children. There's some wonderful, wonderful stories. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, and not going into all the stories, you're probably familiar with that. But to see the providence of God, that was a very powerful thing in her life. Hannah, the mother of Samuel, remember she prayed for him and she wanted that son so bad, and then she lent him to the Lord. Great, great principles. Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist. Mary was the mother of our Savior. And you go through and you read about them. You read about, the oppositions and all the heartaches and the trials. But they were good, good mothers. And then, obviously, you have the other side of the coin, the bad mothers, Athaliah. I won't get into that story, but it was more of a thing where she wanted her son to be political. And politics is a bad thing, amen. But anyway, Herodias, Jezebel, don't ever name your daughter Jezebel, right? And even if she's a good daughter, you don't want her that tag to be on her. But I want to talk today about a gift from mom. Obviously, on Mother's Day, we're all thinking about what can we give to our mothers. And I think that's important. So we're going to see both sides of the coin. But a gift from mom, the gift that mom gives to her children. And I mentioned the good and the bad mothers in 2 Chronicles 22. Athaliah was her son's counselor to do wickedly. That's an amazing statement. That's word for word from the scripture. She was his counselor to do wickedly. You come to the book of Titus, and the aged women are supposed to teach the younger women to love their children, to love their husbands, to teach them godliness. And so you see two sides. You see a godly mother wanting to pass that on down to her children, her grandchildren, and so on. And then you see the other side where there's a corruption. I know God can do anything, amen? God can get in somebody's heart and lead them in this direction, help them through that direction. But moms have a lot to do with this. In Sturgis, when we had Mother's Day, we had a relationship with the Right to Life down there, and they would give us roses with "Thanks, Mom, for Life," a little tag on it. And we would give an offering to Right to Life. But that was the emphasis. It was physical life. And I want to go a little bit further than that. That's a biblical truth, but there's more involved to it. Mother's Day is celebrated by giving a gift to your mother. Amen? You show gratitude by doing that. Amen? Boy, this is a rough crowd today. But the children are supposed to give a gift to their mother and celebrate that day. The card companies, the greeting card companies, way outperform Mother's Day rather than Father's Day. Fathers, good fathers, amen, but there's just something special about that mother-child relationship. And it's sad to say that some Mother's Days are not very happy occasions. And it could be coming from the mother, it could be coming from the children, but there's not that bond that there should be. And God is always in the business of wanting to heal that. But sometimes that leads to a mother seeing some things and being a better mother to the children and breaking that. Flowers, candy. Amen. You can't go wrong with flowers and candy. Gifts out to dinner. Cleaning the house for mom. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Okay. Okay. We hit a note. Waiting on her today, as well as the cards. And this is what you would expect. When gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. And when we miss the gratitude that we should have for our mothers and our fathers, that's coming up too. Amen.
Amen.
Keep them together. But it should be. And I want you to think today the importance of doing that, because that's where love is shown to each other. That's where care comes in. We learn all of those principles as children if we have that connection with our mothers. There was a man one time, and he's reading the paper, and his wife came in and she said, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, I love you." And wasn't a little bit while later, and she said, "Do you really love me?" And he says, "Yes, I really love you." A few minutes passed by, and he said, "Do you really, really love me?" And he says, "Yeah, you know I love you. Now shut up and let me read the paper." And so that bond needs to be more than words, amen? And children pick that up. They just pick it up. There was a guy one time, and somebody said, How do you explain your happy marriage?" And he says, "Well, my wife and I go out 2 days every week. She goes out on Monday and I go out on Saturday." And there's all kinds of things that the world talks about, but they don't bring people together. And God wants to do that. He wants to accomplish that. One lady, grown, mature, she said, "As a child, I was blissfully unaware of the constant sacrifices that my mom was making for me." We could all say that. As a child, you just miss it. You don't understand it. As children of God, in our growth, we grow, we mature by just in grace and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But a lot of times we miss all that God has done for us. He daily loads us with benefits. Amen? We're His children. He cares for us. He guides us. He leads us. He protects us. He comforts us. And all of the accolades we could give Him. But sometimes we just go right on by that and we don't see that. That's the way it is with a young child that really doesn't know what the mother is doing for that young child. God is doing an awful lot for us. Isaiah 66:13, that's the verse we mentioned earlier. "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted." He is the God of all comfort. He's able to comfort us in all our tribulation, and there's a purpose in that. But He's the God of comfort. And as a mother comforteth, God put that in the Bible. That's speaking of Himself, because that's an important part of a mother's function. She comforts her children. We have in Isaiah 49:15, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget. Though mother and father forsake you, the Lord will take you up." He is there for us. Amen. And, you know, the ideal home, there's no perfect mother. There's a couple of perfect fathers. Amen? Amen? Okay. But there's no perfect people, and there's mistakes made, but love conquers a lot of that. Charity covers a multitude of sin, and thank God for that. But anyway, God is always there. He sends us cards, even when we don't send Him cards. We got a Bible full of cards, expressions of love to us. And He gives us gifts, even when we don't give Him gifts. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. God gave His Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And all of the verses that talk about the wonderful gift of God, amen, while we were yet sinners, when we did not recognize all that God was doing, all that He was planning to do for us, and we just missed it until that day, amen, where we came to know Jesus as our Savior. Then the Bible opened up. Then the light came on. Then we start to experience how good God has been to us. And it makes us thankful. And then as our thanksgiving grows, our relationship with God grows, because there's more and more and more love. It's such a blessing. 2 Corinthians 9:15. "Thanks thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. In Romans chapter 5, this gift is described three times in the one chapter as a free gift. God gives it. The Bible also tells us, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of men, even to them that believe on his name. So we receive the gift, and it changes our lives. It transforms our lives. A mother gives life to her child, but she does not stop there. Amen? All you have to do is just look up on the front row here, you know. And boy, didn't the Lord end last week on a perfect note. And anyway, I won't tell you about that, but you have to be in church to experience some of those things. Amen? But anyway, I'll get back on this, back on track. A mother's child does not always see the blessings that the mother provides. And God's children don't see it all either. A mother does not always give her child what he wants, right? But what is good? Chocolate's good. Amen. Broccoli will stunt your growth. But I think it's turned around the other way. But as children, we don't really know what's good for us sometimes. Amen. You remember those days? My grandmother, she would fix us food, and she said, "Paul, do you want some more peas?" And she's putting them on my plate, you know. So it didn't matter what I was going to say. Grandma was going to take care of me, you know. But sometimes we just don't know what's good for us, and physically and spiritually. A mother doesn't always give her child what he wants, but what's good for him. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me, Paul saying this, I was being used of God so greatly, and God was doing things in my life, and lest I get proud, God sent me a gift. And Paul's probably thinking, oh, wonderful gift. It was a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. That's not a gift that anybody would want. Amen? But if it produces humility in our life, it's a good gift because it's God accomplishing something that we're going to need. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial of your faith. It's a good thing because that's how your faith grows. We find Philippians 4:11. Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Contentment comes through a trial. Contentment comes through circumstances. And these are great gifts. Look at these gifts. Humility, faith, contentment. Those are great gifts. Are you content today? If you are, that's a blessing. Amen? Because it takes away covetousness. It takes away all of those things. And you're content with what God is doing in your life. James said in James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Tribulation worketh patience. And we joke about it. You pray for patience. No, you don't want to pray for patience because tribulation comes with it. But it's such a powerful gift to be content, to be patient, to have faith, to be close to God. And how does that happen? It's a growing experience. Amen? And we don't protect our children from everything. Sometimes they make bad mistakes and they have to pay the price for it. Amen? But it's important that God works in our life like that. Those are the gifts money can't buy. A mother doesn't have to be wealthy to give her children the best gifts. It's not about money. Nothing wrong with it. Buy presents, take care of somebody, feed, clothe, a guide, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But the best gifts are the ones that don't cost any money. Proverbs 15:17. Better is a dinner of herbs. That's a salad. Amen. Where love is than a stalled ox. That's a steak. And hatred therewith. It's better to have a salad and love than a steak and hatred. Amen. It has nothing to do with the substance. What it has to do with is our hearts. What is God doing in our heart? And mothers take care of children, and that's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. But there's a There's a deeper meaning to all of this. Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house. The gift of wisdom. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish teareth it down. Remember Solomon? God says, ask anything you want. Anything you want, and I'll give it to you. And he didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for power. He said, I need wisdom because I'm like a little child. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. Please, God, give me wisdom. And he asked for the right thing. Amen? And the Bible strengthens that. Ecclesiastes 9:16. Wisdom is better than strength. Proverbs 16:16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Proverbs 8:11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Wisdom is knowing how to use knowledge to successfully meet the emergencies in life. And so here's God, and he's given us all this wisdom. As a matter of fact, Christ is called wisdom in the Bible. He is wisdom. And that wisdom comes from his word. And so God speaks to us, and he wants to guide us and help us, all of that. But sometimes wisdom is way down the list of what we want to happen in our life. But it should be first, because it's better than all these things. When God and a mother agree on what are the best gifts, that's wonderful for the child. Amen? There's a lot of books out there on how to rear children. This way, that way, you know. Back when I was growing up, back in 2010, and maybe a little before that, I mean, I don't know if I ought to put these things on. This is going on YouTube, but I remember in school, if you were bad, guess what happened? Well, have you guessed? Amen? And you got the spanking. And we tried to work around that. I mean, you'd put handkerchiefs in your back pockets, you know, but there were some pretty smart teachers back then. And I mean, it was like a different way. Now it's a little bit different, but how do you raise children? Well, I need to go get a book. Well, we have a book. Amen? It's a book of wisdom. We need to love those children. We need to correct those children. We need to guide those children. There's all of these things in the Bible, and it tells you how to do it. But it's really, really an important thing. When a mother agrees with God, what wonderful gifts she can give to her children. Here are some of them. Reverence and respect. It's a blessing. Amen. Purity, compassion, godliness, a desire for God. That child is rich indeed. You will never regret giving those gifts to your child. In 3 John verse 4, the writer said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. No greater joy. And what is the truth? Thy word is truth. There's no greater joy for a Christian parent to have that, knowing that their children are walking in the faith, amen, that are obeying the truth from the Word of God. Sometimes we look at rebellious children and we say, boy, how disrespectful. But we have a Father in heaven, amen. We're children of God. And sometimes we do the same thing, and then we require it of our children, but we don't do it for our Lord. We are God's children. Isaiah chapter 1, God said, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. This isn't like, if I do this, this is going to happen. We do what's right. We want all of our children to serve the Lord, to love God. Amen. Sometimes, because of individual choice, that child does something different. That's not necessarily the parent's fault. The best father that ever was, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. But he always loved them. And he always ministered to them. We are God's children. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Paul said this. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. The Lord said that. So we're going to look at that for just a few minutes here. I think that's an important point to see. The best gift the child could ever give their mother is to receive her gift. And what is her gift? Life. But her gift, we're talking about a Christian mother, is salvation. You want your children to be saved, and you want them to have an abundant life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That is first. That is first place. Well, I want them to get a good education. Nothing wrong with that. I want them to be successful in business. Nothing wrong with that. I want them to marry the right person. Nothing wrong with that. But the main thing should be to teach these principles of the Word of God that might be a blessing to the children. Hannah said, "For this child I prayed." What did she pray? She wanted that child. She so wanted Samuel. And God gave her that son. And she gave him back to the Lord. That was the purpose of the whole thing. She saw a miracle of God in her life. And she shared that miracle and so to speak, gave back to the Lord. We have Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. To receive and obey the word of God." That's always a blessing for the parent. In Proverbs 31, which we saw on the wall, "Her price is far above rubies." That's the virtuous woman. I want to bring out a couple things about that. In Proverbs 31:28, "Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." Now the husband's going to get involved, but we're going to see that, because husbands, love your wives, amen, and be not bitter against them. We all have problems, but love your wives. Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. "Her price is far above rubies. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." And he should. A father should praise the mother. And the children need to see that. In Ephesians chapter 5, let's begin reading in verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his blood." And it goes on a little bit. Husbands, love your wives. Aged women, teach the younger women to love their children, to love their husbands. There's love, there's charity, there's peace, there's godliness, all because of the wisdom of the Lord. "Her price is far above rubies." Abraham Lincoln said, "The best thing a man can do for his children is to love his mother." Boy, that's a blessing. I entitled the message, "A Gift from Mom," not "A Gift to Mom." But the best gift that a child could ever give the mother is receiving the mother's gift, because it is more blessed to give than to receive. That mother wants that child to receive the gift of salvation and to receive the gift of truth and peace and love and following the Lord. And by doing that, they give a gift back to their mother. I mean, everybody wins. Amen? A mother's love is the ultimate sacrifice, for she gives everything she has for her children. A mother's sacrifice is never ending, but her love is never fading. A mother's sacrifice is not just what she gives up, but also in what she silently endures for her children. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Everybody here is beautiful. All of you ladies are beautiful. Amen? Amen. And, and you put a lot of work into that. Amen? You know, somebody said one time, if the old barn needs painting, paint it, you know. Boy, what a way to ruin the message. And that doesn't apply to anybody here, you know. But favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. It's not the beauty out here, although everybody's beautiful. Amen? I was just telling you what somebody else said, not what I would say. But it's that spirit. And you read Proverbs 31 and you see the virtuous woman. And it's only a number of verses. It's easy to read. But you see her children rise up and praise her. What for? Her godly life. Her husband praises her. And if that doesn't happen, listen to this. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Give her. It is but just that she should enjoy those praises which her labors deserve. I thank my wife, and she's here, so I can't lie. Amen. If she was in Sunday school, I could embellish the truth a little bit, but since she's here, I always thank her for the meal. And I just do that. And it's amazing. Every meal is better than the last one. And it becomes my new favorite meal. Amen? I mean, it's just neat how that works. But there ought to be something in the spirit that connects us with our children, because that's where the growth is. Give her of the fruit of her hands, let her own works praise her in the gate. And if men be silent, the lasting effects of her prudence and diligence will trumpet forth her praises in the gates, in the most public and solemn assemblies. But if not there, God knows. God knows everything that mother is doing for that child. The child doesn't know. Sometimes the husband doesn't know. The father doesn't know. But God and that mother know what she's putting into that child. That's where the sacrifice comes in. That's where the hardship comes in. That's where the tribulation comes in. But it works patience and contentment and godliness. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. What gift is the best gift for a Christian mother to give a child? That's the gift of salvation. They brought you into this world, and that's what everybody celebrates. That's what the cards are about. It's life, physical life. But God celebrates when that child comes into his family. And that's the best gift that a mother can give her children. And when the children receive that gift from the mother and God, because they're in concert, God would have all men everywhere to be saved, and any mother, any Christian mother wants her children saved. Amen. And when God and the mother come together, and then that child gets saved, there's rejoicing in heaven. And then that child now sees more about the mother and more about the gift of physical life and eternal life. And what a connection. Mother's love cannot be broken. All the illustrations in the Bible, and there are many of them. If you're here today, young or old, and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've got a Christian mom, even if you don't have a Christian mom, but especially if you have a Christian mom, and they don't know where you're going to spend eternity, they're trying to give that gift. They're always trying to give that gift. I'm a great grandpa. You can take that two ways. Amen? I'm a great grandpa. My wife is a great grandma. And we have two great grandsons. Our desire for them is that they might grow up and know the Lord. Our desire for them is that they might come to Christ. They're not saved. They're little boys. But you pray for them, because that's the gift we want to give them. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. The best gift that God can give to anybody is the gift of eternal life. The best gift any Christian mother or father can give their children is believing in Jesus Christ and receiving his gift. If you're not saved today and you're here as a child, your mom is here, maybe she's in another state or whatever, but I want you to pray a prayer with me. It's a prayer of faith. And if you pray this prayer and you mean it and you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to tell your mother today. Oh, there's mothers here that would wish that would happen for them. Pray something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Thank you for dying for my sin. Tell them that. Silently in your heart. I receive you as my Savior, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I want you to give me eternal life. I want a home in heaven, and I want the gift of salvation. And if you said that prayer, you need to let your mom know that today. If your mom is gone, let your father know. If your mother and father are gone, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. They'll know. They'll know that you trusted Christ. Our Father, thank you for the gift of eternal life, but thank you for so many other gifts. We thank you for salvation, but every day we ought to be thanking you for kindness, patience, comfort, peace, joy. May you help us with that, Lord. May we always see what you've done. I pray for children here today that maybe don't realize the depth of the message, that, Father, that they would walk in the truth. Their mother desires nothing better than that her children walk in the truth. Bless us now, Lord. May the Word of God go with us. May it change our lives and our future. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.